Welcome to episode 5 of Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and we are back. Last week, we ended off on the new BMW. We ended up talking about the new M3 and the grille and all the controversy behind it and stuff like that. Today, we are given a very interesting headline, also coming from BMW. 530 horsepower 2022 BMW i4 was revealed. It is a four-door electric sedan, something that we have seen quite a lot of come out from the recent companies with the Audi e-tron GT. Tesla's releasing a new Model S, and Porsche still has their Taycan S. But we have a new competitor in that lineup, which is, obviously expected. Every company is now going to be shifting towards these electric sedans and SUVs and things like that. A lot of companies, I know GM's promising, I think, 25 or 35 electric cars by 2025 in their lineup, something like that. Something ridiculous. All these companies are going for just adding all kinds of new lineups. And this is the first of BMW's new lineup that is going to basically be a 4 Series. It's in the name i4. It's basically an electric 4 Series with 530 horsepower, 300 miles of range, which is a pretty solid amount. If you're still looking for SUVs, because a lot of companies have been more shifted towards electric SUVs, and that's kind of been the more popular end of the stick, you're not out of luck, because BMW is going to be looking to reveal their iX, which is going to be their electric SUV. So hold on for that, SUV people. You still got one coming. But right now, we're focusing on the i4. We didn't get a price released for it. We weren't expecting one, honestly. We weren't even expecting this reveal to happen today or yesterday. But it did. Here we are. Stacking up against the competition, it looks all right. I mean, it really does depend on the price, because cars like the Lucid and Tesla are still up at 520 miles of range. This one's only getting around 300, but that's still around the same as the Model S and the Audi e-tron GT. Other than that, we're expecting it to be priced around Model S range, e-tron range, close to $100,000. Could be a little over, could be a little under. I'm going to be leaning a little bit towards the underside, since they are saying they're going to be releasing an M version of this car, which will be the first electric M car, I believe, because I don't think the i8 was technically an M. So this will, technically be the first M car, M electric vehicle, which is pretty exciting. BMW is definitely a company I was looking forward to making electric cars, just because they usually, when they're given new technology, they usually knock it out of the park. Other than that, we have BMW just promising more vehicles in their lineup. We didn't get a reveal of the SUV, like I said. The styling on it, pretty similar. It looks like a toned down M3. Still has the same weird grille, but honestly, on this car, I think it fits a little bit better. It adds to that futuristic style that they're going for. Don't really know how I feel about the rims. I'm sure you can probably opt those out, or they'll offer a normal version. But they have these like triangle metal plates on them that go around. There's 5 of them, and it looks okay. I can see what they're going for. It's kind of similar to Tesla's Model 3 wheels, the performance wheels, but just not quite there. I don't know what to think of it. But, we have a new BMW i4 electric lineup. I am not super excited for this car, to be honest. I know I said earlier that I was really excited for BMW to release an electric car, but that was basically because I know they were going to make an M electric car very shortly after that. So, yeah, this car is cool. It has some incredibly fierce competition, but it's okay. It's not the most exciting thing. It's just, again, it's a safe electric car. If you're going to go all out, though, with an electric SUV, or not an electric SUV, sorry, an electric sedan, I don't know if I'd go for this. I really don't think I would. Personally, I think the Audi e-tron and the Model S are still better to me. I still like the styling a little better. I still like the interior a little better. We didn't get too much interior pictures of this, the i8, or the i4, sorry, but I'm assuming it's going to be more old school BMW, because, or not old school, but they're, you know, they're not going to change it up for the electric car alone. So, yeah, classic BMW interior, it's good, it's great, but the thing about these electric cars is all of them, for some reason, every manufacturer has felt the need to go above and beyond when introducing their electric cars. Every single one of them has had completely different styling, a new interior, something to make it feel special, feel like an electric car that's, you know, BMW's electric car or Audi's electric car, not just a electric car. It's something that a lot of normal gas sedans started to struggle from mid to late 2000s, is they stopped really changing them. They looked the same and they kept going the same. Like, if I saw a BMW 3 Series or a Mercedes C-Class or an Acura TLX, they all look the same. They all do the exact same thing. But whenever a company makes an electric version of these cars, it's always, oh, I know exactly what that is, because it's, all the styling is specialized. Everything looks specialized. And with this BMW, I don't really see it. If it was going down the road, I honestly wouldn't even know it was electric. It just looks like any other hybrid. It doesn't look like the performance 530 horsepower EV that it's trying to be. And for me, I would, that's why I'd pick the e-tron GT, even the Lucid Air, the Taycan, obviously, but that's more on the top end. And then the Model S, yeah, it's old. It would be tough between this and the Model S. But from a consumer standpoint, if I was going to purchase one of these with money, my money, I think right now I'm going to have to either go for the Lucid Air with that's going to be coming out with 800 horsepower, or I'm going to wait for that Model S Plaid Plus, which is going to come with 1,020 horsepower. Yes, 150 grand is far on the pricey range for these vehicles, but 1,000 horsepower in an SUV. I keep saying SUV, it's a sedan, I'm sorry. A sedan, 1,020 horsepower in an electric sedan, it seems unbeatable to me. I don't think any company is going to release anything better than that for 1,000 horsepower. The only thing close to that right now is the Hummer EV, and that thing is three times the weight of what this Model S is going to be. So, wrapping it up, the i4 is a good car. There's nothing necessarily wrong with it. It does everything that it needs to do correctly and well. It's just lacking that special factor that I'm looking for when I want to look for an EV. It just feels like an old school electric car. It feels like a step back. It feels like a Ford Fusion or something like that. That technically is an electric sedan or a hybrid sedan, but you don't put it in the category of a Tesla or an e-tron or anything else of that sort, if that makes sense. So for me, it's got to be a pass. Surprisingly enough, I was looking forward to BMW releasing this. I was hoping they were going to release the M with it right off the bat, but they didn't. And now we just have to hope that what they do to the M isn't just a performance upgrade interior on the i4, under the hood stuff in the i4. Because I don't think the styling would be enough for it. I think if they throw the M3 styling on it, change it up maybe a little bit, maybe add a new color. I can see it. I think it would work. But yeah, BMW is going to need to sell this car a little bit harder for me to be on board. But that's it for BMW. I am DJ Mechanic. This is Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, or the Penguin Radio website where you're probably listening to this right now. And we will be back in a second to talk about Dodge. Welcome back to 102.3 Penguin Radio, Up to Speed. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. And we are going to talk about cars that I have grown very fond of in the recent years. Dodge Challengers and Dodge Chargers. Both incredible cars that, until recently, I didn't really like. I was much more of a Camaro guy. I was much more even leaning a little bit towards Mustangs growing up entirely. Until SRT joined Dodge and the new styling for the Challenger came out. And they started making Hellcats and Demons and Scat Packs and SRTs, and Dodge exploded. People love these cars, and these cars alone essentially saved Dodge, because they were not in the greatest financial situation before they got the partnership with SRT. 2021 happens to be the 50th anniversary of these cars, and we are getting no less than what I would expect from Dodge, a new 50th anniversary only Gold Rush color. And it is exactly how it sounds. They literally just paint the car gold. The Challenger has a blacked out hood. The Charger has a blacked out hood. And you can get some decals as well, depending on which variant you're going to get. Again, not too much is going to be happening with this car. Year to year wise, it's going to be pretty much the same as the 2020, with a few minor upgrades, a few interior little tweaks and changes. But yeah, if you want that satin black hood that I was just talking about, you do have to pay $3,400, which is a lot, but if you're going to buy a 50th anniversary Dodge that's painted gold, I don't think you really care about how much you're going to be spending on it, and rightfully so. But yeah, I think the paint job honestly really suits the car, and not very many cars could pull off gold. But Dodge, being loud, being aggressive, being seen is their number one thing. So the gold on this car actually looks pretty good, and it does exactly what you would expect it to do. It stands out, and it looks great. Again, we're back to having a Challenger, the 392, the Hellcat Red Eye. No Demon. We haven't had a Demon in a long time. Discontinued. We obviously wish we still had that, because the Demon was a pretty awesome car. Did have a lot of problems. Did cost a lot. And was extremely unnecessary. But who doesn't love a Dodge Demon? Other than, you know, maybe police officers. So again, like I said, the Gold Rush exterior paint is available for the RT, the Scat Pack wide body, the Hellcat wide body, and the $33,495 satin black hood, roof, and deck lid are available for all of those as well. When it comes to the 2021 Dodge Charger itself, again, not too much is happening here. Starting price is just under 30 grand, like usual, for the RT. The Hellcat is looking to make up to 807 horsepower, which is more than the last time, obviously, because each time these cars come out, they add a little bit of horsepower. Nothing too crazy. It's going to feel like a Hellcat if you've ever been in one. before you purchase this. Not much is going to be different here. It does only come with a nice V8, which is great for the any SRT models. There is an all-wheel drive version, but it's only available on the V6. And if you buy that, I don't think you deserve to buy it. I don't think you deserve to own a Challenger if you're buying an all-wheel drive V6 Challenger. Simply because, why? Why would you ever do that? There's literally no reason for you to do that ever. The only thing that this car is good at is using a V8 to go very fast in a straight line. And if you don't have a V8 and you can't spin your back wheels, it's just a bad car. There's it's just a terrible car. There's no, it's just saving weight. There's no benefit to it. Other than the only benefit is price. And even then, just buy a fast V6 sedan at that point, or a coupe, or something that can actually use a V6 correctly and not something way too heavy to be used in a V6. So, not much. Not much to cover here, really, with the 2021 Dodge Challenger, Dodge Charger. You're getting that extra horsepower. Interior is going to look about the same as it usually did. A little bit comfier seats, though. They did change the seats up, added a little bit more space in the trunk if you were worrying about fitting your golf clubs back there after ripping this thing down the road and waking up all the neighbors at 6 a.m., and then you also get all your other paint options along with the gold paint option. Personally, I mean, if you're going to buy a Hellcat, now's the time to do it, for reasons that I'll cover in the next segment. We are, spoiler alert, we're going to be going back to Dodge next segment. There's some pretty sad news, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the 2021 Dodge Challenger. When it comes to the competition, yes, you have your Mustangs. Yes, you have your Camaros. But a Camaro and a Mustang really aren't a Hellcat. And I say that for one main reason. The Camaros and the Mustangs have... Yes, they're still muscle cars. They're definitely still muscle cars. They still have big engines in them. They still are very loud. V8s roar down the street. Great at drag races. But they've become more and more modernized. And modernized in the way of stability and control and traction and making sure everything can go around corners as well as it can go in a straight line and making it compatible with something like an M3 or even an import car like an NSX or something like that. When you look at the Challenger and the Hellcat and the Red Eye, yes, they've been modernized, but they've been modernized to do one thing better. They don't go around corners very well. They don't go around a track very fast. If you put this thing against an M3, it would probably get lapped by it, and by the third or fourth lap. It would not even be close. It wouldn't even be competition. But you put it in a straight line, and the Hellcat's blowing everything out of the water because it was made to do that. It's a drag car. If you're buying a Hellcat, you buy it to drag it, to do nothing else but drive it fast in a straight line and look cool and sound good. And competition for that really isn't much. I mean, unless you personally really like the look of the Camaro or the Mustang. Honestly, out of all three, I think the Camaro ZL1, the new one, looks definitely the best out of the three. But again, you don't care if you're buying this. You really don't. So if you want an SRT Hellcat, this is probably the best one you are... Yeah, I'm gonna say it. This is probably the best one you could get ever. This is probably the best Hellcat ever and will remain the best Hellcat ever. So if you want the peak of Dodge Hellcat V8 roaring, whining performance, buy this car. Because you're not going to get the opportunity again. why you're not going to get the opportunity again, I'll tell you right when we get back. You're listening to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. And once again, we will be back. Welcome back to 102.3 Penguin Radio. Up to Speed is the show. DJ Mechanic is the host. That's me. And like I said earlier, we got some sad news a while ago, but I just decided to cover it now just because I felt like if I didn't cover it, I just felt like I needed to cover it, and I just didn't when it happened. I had segments full, didn't have the time to get to it, but I thought I'd cover it now. We did get the news that SRT will be disbanding from Dodge. If you don't know the history of SRT, they have been a in-house type of in-house mechanic and tinkers and motor experts behind the scenes since 1989. A group of their engineers was the ones who brought the original Dodge Viper to life. They spent years and years and years making things like the Plymouth Prowler, which is joked about a lot because of the styling, but was honestly a pretty fun car to drive, I've heard. The Dodge Neon SRT4, the Cherokee Trackhawk, the Ram TRX, and of course, the Dodge Demon and the Dodge Hellcat and Hellcat Red Eye and Dodge SRT. Yeah, this does kind of suck. They've made Dodge what it is today, and basically everything that Dodge stands for is SRT. Some people don't even know that SRT was a company added on to Dodge, or an in-house company that was working with Dodge. They thought SRT was part of Dodge and was completely Dodge's, and just something that they would use for the name, kind of like what BMW does with the M. Yeah, this does suck. It does mean probably no more Hellcats in the soon future. They do say that there are a few future cars planned, but they're moving away from what SRT's been doing previously. They will be, what SRT is going to be doing, their team will be disbanded across 14 brands under Stellantis, which is the big overhead brand over all of it. But they also tap into motorsports as well, so SRT is still going to be doing motorsports, which is a good thing to hear. The CEO of Stellantis himself is a race car driver on weekends and stuff, so I think the company will be in good hands under him if he has any idea how much that SRT's meant to the car world over the past 6 or 7 years or so, really, recently. But yeah, Hellcat V8 days are numbered, SRT badges are numbered again, and this is why I was saying in the last segment that if you're going to buy a Hellcat, now is probably the time, because you're going to be getting one of the last few of them. For Dodge, I don't really know what this means for Dodge. It's an interesting move. Obviously, it's one that everyone was going to eventually expect, or at least I think. I don't know if I was, though, simply because, you know, Dodge kind of, in a time of all EVs and movement, took a step back to perfect the V8 engine and make it as good as it possibly can be and put it in their muscle car and continue their brand as putting V8s and big power in everything. And stripping SRT kind of means stripping the identity of Dodge. I don't know what people are going to be thinking of when they think Dodge anymore. Because when I think Dodge, and I think what most people think of Dodge nowadays is, you know, putting a big engine in basically anything and selling it. which is awesome, and people like that, and people have been buying that. But now, in the time of emissions regulations and combustion fuel power being a thing of the past, I guess, the V8 days are numbered, and SRTs are numbered, and it's time for it to go, and for Dodge to switch into an electrification zone. And I'm going to say something a bit controversial, because I don't know if people are going to like it, because obviously SRT stands for something, and what people think of when they think of SRTs is what they think of when they think of Dodge. And that's big, fast engines and V8s and whining and superchargers that are bigger than the engine itself and crazy things like that. But I hope that SRT comes back and works with Dodge on electric vehicles. I would love to see an SRT, an electric Challenger, an electric SRT Challenger. And yeah, I mean, purists are going to hate that, but I think if anyone's going to fulfill the electric car and make the electric car as exciting as the V8 car, it's going to be SRT. SRT's made fun cars. Yes, gas cars, but fun cars for years. And I think them taking a step into electrification wouldn't be necessarily a terrible idea. I think that they definitely have the means to do it. They definitely have the brains to do it. And I think they have the platform to do it too, with using Dodge's whole lineup. They basically have free reign, or had free reign, over what they did with the cars, engine-wise and performance-wise, and what they wanted to do to the car as a whole. I mean, they took the Cherokee, or the Durango, and made it straight into the Trackhawk, which is almost a completely different platform. It shares the whole body frame and everything, but suspension's different, transmission's different, engine's different, ride height's different, wheels and tires and rims are different. They did all kinds of amazing things for those cars that made them SRT cars. And I think that if they decided to go, hey, Dodge, we want to make an electric SRT for you, I'm sure Dodge would love to see what they could do with their vehicles, and I think it would be a great thing to work out. But yeah, right now, it is looking like the end of the end of the V8, the end of Dodge's 5 or 6 year run where they just threw it in everything and people loved it. We don't know what plans they have for the future models. We just know that maybe a few cars will continue production for maybe a few more years. I'm assuming it's probably going to be the Hellcat, because it's probably the most popular. Probably going to take things out like the T-Rex, maybe the Trackhawk, I doubt it. Maybe the not the Scat, I think the Scat will stay. But yeah, some of the one-offs, some of the smaller production things that SRT makes, I don't think that those are going to continue for nearly as long. The CEO said that they have plans to grow Dodge as a performance vehicle brand, which, and he also said just don't expect it to be all combustion fueled, which is what I said earlier. I think that they would make great performance vehicles even if they were electric. And I think Dodge has backed themselves into a corner to where they have to make performance cars now. Because if they just went to making boring electric or practical electric cars, the Dodge brand is not really made for that. And it's not really made to be what Ford is or what Chevrolet is. It's made to be all power and all performance and no practical cars whatsoever. So, on Dodge's part, yeah, it has to happen. Yes, I agree with what they did. Is it sad? Yes, we all love Hellcats. I think people, even environmentalists, smile whenever they hear a little whining Hellcat fly by them, because It's just a symbol of fun. It's always been a symbol of fun and just nonsense and being childish. But those days have come to an end. We must move forward into the era of electrification, one that we're all reluctant to move into, but we are gaining speed over noise, so let's put our performance where our mouth is and join in on the electric wave. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio, and we will be back, unlike SRT. Welcome back to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and for this last segment, we have a little sedan showcase. It's not really much different from what I've been doing in the past, but now I'm going to give it a little name so that whenever I bring it up, you'll know what kind of segment it's going to be. We're going to be calling these sedan showcases, where maybe once a week or every other week, I'm going to show off a really cool fast sedan, compare it to the other really cool fast sedans that we've covered in the past, or ones that I'm going to cover in the future, and give a little rundown, because I think that fast sedans are one of the most popular and most practical and most useful and most fun cars that people can get. And I think that most people listening to the show, you know, maybe you're into cars, maybe you're not really into cars, maybe you're in your late 30s or 40s living in Marin somewhere, listening to a college kids radio show, and maybe you want to learn a little bit more about cars or maybe pick something up for yourself. Sedans are a great place to start. Get the practicality, my fault. You get the trunk space for the golf clubs, you got the space in the back for the kids, and you get the performance to have a little bit of fun. Chassis low, you get to run through the canyons a little bit, have a little bit of that fun car experience. You get the best of both worlds, and I think that showcasing these every week or so would be a great thing to do. So today we have one that I thought wasn't going to come back. One that I thought was going to be discontinued, gone, kaput. It wasn't looking very good. The numbers were not selling great simply because of the badge on the front and nothing to do with the car itself. The Kia Stinger. Not very many people wanted to spend the amount of money that this thing costs, around 50 grand, on a Kia. But here we are. People actually did buy these, and they're great cars. We have gotten rid of the 2.2 liter engine, and now we have a 2.5 liter turbo 4 that produces 300 horsepower, 311 pound feet of torque, which is plenty for this car to make it feel nice and quick. It does have a $3,000 increase in price, but that's really not that bad for how much more power you are going to be getting for the baseline model. Again, obviously, if you're going to go for that 50 grand version and not the 40 grand version, you're going to be getting the fully loaded, fully packaged V6 all-wheel drive, which is going to be much, much faster. It's going to add another 45-something horsepower to the car, 350 you're going to be getting, which is plenty, 368 to be exact. Exact there, 376 pound feet of torque. The V6 Stinger starts at 44 grand, whereas the Turbo 4 one will start around 37, which, they increase the very base price, but I think if you're going to buy one of these, just buy the V6 one. Don't go for something like the Turbo 4, because then you're going to be just that little bit on power. And if you do get farther into cars and you want to maybe modify it, modifying a Turbo 4 is not going to be nearly as easy as modifying a 3.3 liter V6 that doesn't have any turbos or superchargers on it already. You could throw a little turbo on it, make it a little Turbo 6, make it just that bit quicker, just that bit more fun. But even if you don't, you have a great base car to be working with. Plenty of space, plenty of good looks. The taillights on these cars is one thing that I really liked. And the back badge, the stinger badge in cursive, I think has always been a great touch, along with the quad exhausts and some great stock rims. The styling on this car has never really been a problem for me. I think it's great because it's, you know, it's enough to make it stand out. It has the stinger badge on the back, the cool taillights, the nice front grille that's similar to other Kias, but not really. It's a little bit more performance-like, while not standing out too much, you know? Like, if you're driving down the street and you don't really know what it is, you're not going to be looking at it. Police aren't going to be sitting at corners seeing this thing drive by and immediately expect you to be speeding or anything like that. It's just subtle enough to not really be as in your face as something like maybe an M3 or a C-Class Mercedes. But yeah, with this new one, we get some nicer seats again, 8-speed automatic transmission. I don't know if you can get this in a manual. I don't think you can. If not, you'll be sure to have paddle shifters, and I've heard in these cars they're pretty good. And again, you get that upgraded twin turbo 3-liter V6. That thing will be very, very fun to cruise around in. The GT1 trim starting at 44 grand, which is a little bit less than what it was last year. And the GT2 trim will start at 52, which is slightly more expensive than last year's because the top-end model usually will always go up no matter what, because it's just nicer than the last year's model. New color option we have called Ascot Green. It's, again, a very, very subtle color. Almost looks like black in the dark, but I think it complements this car very, very well. And does a very, very good job of adding to that subtle but nice look that this car will have. Comparing it to the competition, you're looking at maybe an M3, but an M3 is going to be more expensive than this. C-Class is also going to be more expensive than this. So really, the competition for this is not too much. If you're looking for something around 40 to 50 grand and like 50 grand for a loaded top end car and not just like an entry price, kind of how the BMW has it. If you only have 50 grand, get this car. Because if you have 50 grand and you want to get an M3, you're not going to get a very good M3. But if you have 50 grand and you want to get a Stinger, you're going to get the best of the best that this thing is going to offer. And the best of the best of this is going to be better than a low end M3. If you have the money for the M3 to move up to that, I definitely would. BMWs never disappoint, and if you can get over that new grille, you have yourself one of the best M3s ever made. Obviously, go for that car. But if you don't have the money, this Kia Stinger is a really, really great option. And yes, if you can get it, the Kia badge is a turnoff for some people. But again, if you're buying a Kia Stinger, you're not looking to be in your face are in everybody's face about it. You're looking for a nice, subtle, clean car that doesn't look that fast, but can be fast. And this is exactly that. I mean, it's really perfect for daily driving and going to work and commuting. I'm not sure how great the mileage is. Oh, there it is. I just pulled it up here. Give me 1 second. 29 to 32 miles per gallon. That's really solid for this model. Really solid for something like this. I'm sure that's definitely better than the BMWs. So yeah, I mean, if you want a cross between, like, say, a Honda Accord and a BMW M3, this is almost a perfect option for you. You get all the subtleties, all the luxuries of a Honda Accord, all the practicality of a Honda Accord, with some of the fun and some of the performance of something like an M3 or a C63. There's really no losses here other than your own pride, because you are going to have to buy a Kia. But again, if you happen to be 30 to maybe 60 years old living in Marin and wanting to get into cars, you're not really going to care too much about the badge because you live in Marin and everybody already knows that you are, you've made it in life pretty much. Great entry car. That's really all I have to say. If there's anything you get out of this, great entry car into the car world. A lot of fun you can have with this thing. It doesn't hold its value great, but it doesn't hold it terribly either. Definitely somewhere in between, and leasing this would not be a terrible option either to see if you like the performance car feel. I'm pretty sure they even rent these out in most places because they're just below that. Too nice to be a rental car standard. So yeah, I hope you guys liked the little sedan showcase. I'm gonna be possibly doing more of these in the future. Most likely going to do at least a few more. Looking for a few more practical but fun cars that people who don't really want to be full teenagery car world people, but still want something fast, something subtle, something nice. I'm going to try to find one of those, throw it in sedan showcase. Might possibly be an SUV or a crossover showcase, but that doesn't really ring as much as sedan showcase, so we're going to keep it with sedan showcase for now. But other than that, that's going to wrap up today's show. We've gotten some good news with the new BMW i4 and this new Kia Stinger not being discontinued, but being revamped and added back onto Kia's lineup. We got some bad news with SRT, unfortunately, but I think overall in the car world, we've seen a lot of good things this week. A lot of moving forward, a lot of progress, like we see every week. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to, once again, Up to Speed 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin website. Go check out some more podcasts on there if you get the chance. And I will see you all next week.